A man of prayer, relying on God completely, is the lesson that's been assigned to me. And we got a couple of quotes here that I would like to read to you. I'm not going to read all of them, but you can see the quotes there. And one of them is, self-reliance is the fuel of success. Dependency is the road to mediocrity. Grant Cardone, look him up. He's a rich guy. Google will tell you the information. Nothing can bring you peace but yourself. Ralph Waldo Emerson, an American philosopher of the 19th century. And there's my favorite one, the last one. Never depend on anyone because even your shadow leaves you when it's dark. And that's anonymous. So what do these quotes reveal? These quotes reveal to us the mindset that people in the world have. You see, we live in a culture that promotes self-reliance, being strong and independent, both for women and men. But when we think about it and when we go to scriptures, God calls us to a posture of complete childlike dependency. And that's why it's important for us to understand that prayer is not a religious habit. It's an expression of dependence. A man who relies on God completely turns to prayer first, not as a last resort. A man who prays is admitting, God, I cannot do this without you. And so being self-reliant sometimes works in the religious, in the secular world around us. But when it comes to the Christian life, it just doesn't work because we belong to God and we obviously rely on him in everything that we do. So quick definition, a man of prayer. A man of prayer is not defined by eloquent words, but by a habitual, persistent, and desperate reliance on God for every aspect of life. That's the quick definition of a man of prayer. And so this means that a man of prayer is a man who relies on God completely, not partially or occasionally. And there's some characteristics that define this man of prayer, which should be you and I when it comes to applying this lesson. So what are some of those characteristics of a man of prayer who relies on God completely? Number one, a man of prayer recognizes his need for God. We truly understand that Jesus meant what he said in John chapter 15 and verse 5, where he said, without me, you can do nothing. And that's why Paul wrote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's not through me or through the neighbor or through some religious leader, but through Christ who strengthens me. Once we realize that we are weak and feeble and that our minds are finite, then we can understand that Jeremiah says that only God can direct our steps. And so we need to recognize that we have a need for God and that without him, we cannot really do anything. We need to stick with God all the time. Second characteristics that I'd like to share with you. A man of prayer seeks God consistently. And so the question is, how often do you communicate with God? How often do you communicate with God? It's sad to say, but many Christians sometimes go about their lives living like there were no relationship between them and God. It's like they pray on Sundays because somebody's leading the prayer and on Wednesdays also. But really, they don't really practice prayer. And that's something that, you know, pushes us to the point where we think, okay, I got to do this myself. And we stop relying on God. But in order to avoid that, we need to start praying more and start imitating the Master, who is the Jesus Christ. He's the one that gives us the greatest example when it comes to praying to God and relying to God. He prayed to God often. Luke chapter 5, verse 16. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Mark chapter 1, verse 35. The context there, the night before, the evening before, Jesus was really busy. The whole city went to his doorsteps, and he was casting out demons, and he was pretty much healing the sick with many diseases and all of that. So he had a very busy evening. So what did he do? Well, guys, the next day I'm just going to sleep in because, you know, it was a busy day. I'm just going to take off, right, and take a day off. No. Notice what he did. Even though he stayed late at night, now in the morning, having risen along while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. We need to learn from the Master. I know we love to hit the snooze button 1, 2, 3 times, and that's a total of 15, 20 minutes more that we get from sleep, you know, of sleep. And we need to make sure, even though we do that, maybe, we need to make sure that we make time for us to start our day with a prayer to God, thanking Him that, you know, we woke up and we were alive that day and today also. But anyway, we can learn from Jesus. We can also learn from Daniel, Daniel 6:10. Daniel, at this point, he was around early 80s, mid 80s. He was old, pretty much. But there was a decree that was signed. The enemies of Daniel told Darius, the king of Babylon, you know what? Let's do a decree. You know, sign a decree that says nobody can pray to other gods except you. If they have a request, they need to come to you, King Darius. And, you know, just for 30 days at least, you know, just to try to get Daniel into trouble. And what happened? Daniel 6:10. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he was already signed the decree, he went home. And what did he do? Sorry, God, I won't be able to talk to you for 30 days, right? Nope, well, I'll see you in a month. No. Notice, and in his upper room, with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down at the age of 80 on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God. And notice, as was his custom since early days. So we need to make sure we communicate with God more often. And that's the second characteristic. The third one, a man of prayer trusts God's will completely. Yes, we're all familiar with Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean upon your own understanding. But when it comes to applying it, we don't really apply it that much. Many Christians don't really trust God. Why? Because trust requires a mature faith. It requires more faith. And I'm telling you, sometimes I'm guilty of that. Preachers, elders, deacons, the average Joe member, sometimes we are guilty of that because trusting God is actually easier said than done. You know, it requires full trust in God because sometimes we get desperate, we get impatient, and we don't understand how God answers prayers, and we just, you know, start wondering, what do I do? Is God going to help? Is God going to just forget about me? What do I do? In order to avoid that, we need to understand that God pretty much answers prayers in different ways. Number one, sometimes He will say yes. He'll give you what you're asking for. Number two, sometimes He will say no, because He's trying perhaps to protect you from something. Number three, sometimes God will say, wait, you're not ready. You need to mature a little bit more. And so it's important for us to grow mature also. And then God might answer the prayers that we're asking Him to answer. Number four, sometimes God will say, I'll give you something different. I know you think this is what you want, but you need something different. And so God says, sometimes I'll give you something different. Or number five, God answers prayers. Sometimes God will say, here's what you asked for, and I'm giving you more. Why? Because He's a gracious God and who abundantly blesses us every day. And so once we understand that, we will be able to trust Him and rely on Him completely. But we also need to avoid some hindrances to complete reliance on God. And there are some hindrances. I'm just going to list them here real quick. And that way we'll just mention them real quick. Pride. When it comes to pride, what will pride cause you to do? Pride will cause you to say, God, I got this. Don't worry. You know, I can handle it. I don't need you, God. You know, it's just a matter of doing what I plan and everything's just going to work out. You know, just take a break. Sit this one out, God. And that's the attitude we get because of pride. We think we don't need God, but in reality, we do. Then we have doubt. That's another hindrance. We start getting desperate, impatient. God, is He going to help? Well, the scripture says that, yes, God is there for me, but He's taking too long. He's taking too long, and what do I do? You know what? Let's just try to do things myself, you know, things my way. And then we go back again to pride. And then the other hindrance is sin, obviously. Sin separates us from God, but we need to understand that whether it's a habitual sin in our lives or whether there is a unconfessed sin in our lives that we thought we got away with it and we just haven't confessed it, we haven't truly repented of that sin, we need to make sure we get and make things right with God or else, you know, sin will hinder our prayers and sin will keep us from relying on God. And so it's important for us to understand sin is a hindrance. And obviously, strained relationships. 1 Peter 3:7, Peter there mentions specifically that we need to be right with our wives. Our brother mentioned earlier you have to pick your battles. But then again, you know, when the battles, you pick them wrong or whatever the case may be, you are upset with your wife and the sun goes down on your anger and this and that, then, you know, your prayers will be hindered. And I know it doesn't say your prayers will be hindered when you're not right with your children, but, you know, not provoking your children to wrath is the instruction there in the Bible. But some parents sometimes love to provoke their children to wrath. And that's where their prayers can be hindered also. But strained relationships. And I'm not just talking about in the home, but also in the church. And we need to make sure we are in the right relationship with one another, because that's what God wants. And if we want to be right with God, we need to be right with each other also. So, how to rely on God completely? Two things, and we'll wrap this up. Number one, cast all your burdens upon Him. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your burdens upon Him because He cares for you. He cares for us. And casting our burdens, God doesn't say, just give me half of them. You know, that way it'll be lighter. You still carry some, and I'll help you with some. No. When He says, cast all your burdens upon Him, He says, here, Lord, take care of them. You know what to do with them. I will trust you completely. I will rely on you completely. And so therefore, you know, help me. Here's my burdens. Help me. I don't know what to do. That's the attitude we need to have. But we need to cast our anxiety, our concerns, our burdens, our worries, you know, all these things that affect us spiritually, mentally, physically, all those things, we need to cast them on the Lord. And then, obviously, surrender your will to God's will. We need to make sure we are obedient. We need to make sure that we do the will of the Father if we want to make it to heaven. We need to make sure that we are doers of the word and not hearers only. We need to make sure that we submit, therefore, to God. James 4:7. Here's a favorite one. I've been, you know, studying the Bible for a long time, but this one just struck me a few weeks back. And it's one of my favorite ones, where Jesus says, blessed are those who hear the word of God and obey it. Luke 11:28. And we also need to make sure that we allow Christ to live in us. Galatians 2:20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. We need to surrender our will to God's will. Sometimes we want God to conform to our will and do what I ask God. And this is what I need and this is what I want. And you need to do it, God. But that's not how it works. If we are truly going to rely on God, we need to surrender our will to his will. And that way he will bless us continually and tremendously. And in such a way that we will just marvel at the many blessings that God will give us. So, in conclusion, relying on God has to begin all over again every day as if nothing had yet been done. C.S. Lewis. What that means is pretty much you trusted God today. He helped you be successful today. Tomorrow is rinse and repeat. It doesn't mean you take a break tomorrow. It means you continue trusting God. You continue relying on him. And that way you don't count, but God helped me yesterday. You know, what happened today? Don't worry about yesterday. He helped you be successful yesterday. Focus on today. And that way he will continue to bless you. And finally, to pray is to accept that we are and always will be wholly dependent on God for everything. You rely on God, and he will make you a successful Christian, and you will be able to see him someday when we get to heaven. Thank you.